How many of you celebrate this morning that everything we just sang in all of the choruses this morning is absolute truth? Isn't that amazing? He rolled away the stone. How many of y'all go ahead and know the stone's gone? There's a life in here. And I want to give you this word because why have we gathered this morning? Why in the world have we gathered this morning? How many of y'all have gathered because you got to go to church? Leave if you had to go to church this morning. Or get saved once. We ought to come because we know there's a living God and we're living a life. We're living a life. And I want to encourage you to live this life. And the sermon's on that today. Live this life. God has forgiven us so that we might live a life full and abundant. John 10:10. And to do anything less than live that full and abundant life is not to fully take in everything God has given. And I think if God gives it to you, you're supposed to use it. I thank God we just took up an offering. How many of you are glad this week you got to go to work and you made money and God gave you a resource and you need to be thankful for that? Make sense? How many of y'all glad you went to school this week and God's given you a mind and He's given you the intellect and you're able to develop that so that the world might get better? And so really in the next 3 months, I'm really going to be pushing in the name of Jesus. Wake up, church! To the reality of Jesus. Wake up to the reality of Jesus Christ in your life. And so I want to pray today that we might... How many of y'all would make this commitment to God in your heart? I'm going to live out God more of you than I have been. I'm going to allow more of you to leak out in my reality than I have been. And there'll be 5 areas we're taking up in July that cause that to happen. First of all, God, I'm going to worship You more than I have been. Not just on Sunday, but in all of my life. I'm going to study Your Word to find Your direction in my situation. That's why we go to Bible study. We go to Bible study not so that you can run around and quote verses and people think you're smart. In fact, I get so tickled at people that can quote verses. That means they've developed at the level of a third grader. And they have rote memory. That's all that means. That doesn't mean they know that scripture. That doesn't mean they've integrated that scripture. That doesn't mean that scripture's oozing out of their life. We want the Bible to come out of our reality. Make sense? Number 3, build healthy relationships with people. You got to love people. People are cool. People are crazy, but people are cool. Amen? And we're probably both of those as we journey in life. And serve God. We got a great opportunity this Saturday. It'll be lit up here. Single Mother's Oil Change. You know, it's an opportunity for all of us to come together and serve God. And then guess what? This is very important. This place must be a house of prayer. This place must be a house of prayer. And if you notice, the Bible tells us when God went into the temple, you remember when Jesus went into the temple? And He said, "You've made My Father's house a place of robbers and thieves." I would propose to you that we've made God's house once again a place of robbers and thieves. We got people in the house of God wanting what they want instead of what God wants. And you know what? And God said, "My Father's house ought to be a place of what? Prayer." So how many of y'all are willing to just pray right now? God, teach us this life. And then give us the power to live this what? Life. I want to live out Jesus. And if we'll just live out Jesus, things are going to happen. I want to encourage you, it's very important that you continue to invite people that do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ to church. Okay? I want to thank God at 8 o'clock service. Y'all have been inviting new people. People have been connecting to Jesus Christ in the 8 o'clock service. Guess what? People will get up at 8 o'clock to play golf. They'll get up at 8 o'clock to drive to a UK ball game. They'll get up at 8 o'clock to, they'll get up at 4 o'clock to go deer hunting. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Do you think if you encourage people, come on with me, we got to get up a little early, but we're getting up early to go get a life. And you see, that's where we got to keep it, okay? So we got to keep moving on. God's doing some great things. I thank God for all of our praise teams, the leadership of Pastor Keith, and what's going on amongst them. Our Bible study group, man, they're taking another level. Our children's ministry has totally revamped. Vacation Bible School, 31 children received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Praise God. That's families being affected. And I tell you what, you do not want to get in the way of Miss Beth Ann, Miss Angela, Miss Sally Tooley, and Miss Kathy Trulock. They will hurt you if you get in the way of what God's called them to. But you know what? I am so happy, so excited to have 4 ladies so absolutely committed that children would receive Jesus Christ. I hope. And guess what? We're not talking about people that just love kids. We're talking about people that have invested their lives in study, in the Word of God, and in development for 5 or 6 years. They hold master's degrees in children's development. Because guess what? We take the life of your child that serious in this church. People ask all the time, why do you pastor study? Because we weren't smart to start with. And also, what does it say in the Word of God? Study yourself what? Yes, show yourself approved. Understand what God's got to say. Well, let's pray. We're going to live this life. Lord, I pray that we'll live this life. I thank you for what's going on in Hillview. I thank you for how you're moving. I thank you for the transitions that are going on. I thank you for the new designs that you're placing in our congregation. And Lord, now I pray in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that every one of us will grasp today what it means to live under the leadership of God Himself. That God not only wants to be involved in our lives, He wants to lead us to the most effective life possible. Lord, I thank you for this 8 o'clock service. I thank you for their commitment. I thank you for their commitment in giving. I thank you for their commitment in teaching. I thank you for their commitment in praying. I thank you that they understand the power of healing in the Holy Spirit. I thank you many of them understand the power of deliverance. And Lord, I pray that we would continue to exercise the power that you've given us in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Go with me to a familiar passage of Scripture that we need to embody and not just quote. This piece of Scripture, this section of Scripture, this pericope of Scripture is one of the most beautiful moments in Scripture. The 23rd Psalm. But the 23rd Psalm is not a moment of poetry. It is the expression in the guideline, embrace the life. Live this life. Know this shepherd. Know that God loves you, and because He's loved you, you are changing. How many of y'all found that? Love changes me. Love changes me. Love does a better job than rules. How many of y'all found that to be true? Love does a better job than rules. And I'm sorry, if you're a rule person, you know, not rule from out in the country, but a rule-oriented person on how you live your life, you probably need to get a congregation that's going to be full of rules, because Hillview's not going to be full of rules as long as Steve Ayer's the pastor of it. Because I've just, and you say, well, why do you oppose rules? They never work. They never work. And I want you to wake up and read your Bible. They never work. You cannot legislate morality. It will never happen. It never has. Rules don't work. Ask Eve. Don't eat of the tree. Bite. Adam, don't eat of the fruit. Bite. Rules don't what? They won't regulate the human spirit. We will break them. How many of y'all found we break rules? How many of y'all speed? Come on, be honest this morning. How many of y'all? Okay. There's no law enforcement in this service. I'm not going to ask that in the next service. They'll be out checking license plates. 23rd Psalm. David, King David. David, a shepherd boy. David, a struggler in his relationship with Jesus Christ. David, a great leader. David, a government figure. David, a popular figure. David, an adulterer. David, a struggler. David, an intellect. David, son of Jesse. David, little boy with many brothers. David, a warrior. David, a man who finds the shepherd. You must know Jesus. Write that down. If I'm going to live the life, I must know Jesus. And here's the good news. Jesus wants to know you. Okay, that's not up for grabs. It's not up for debate. He wants to know you. Now, that's not the question. Does Jesus love me? Yes! Does Jesus want to be with me? Yes! Does Jesus want me to live the best possible life that I can live? What do you think the answer is to that?
Amen.
Yes. And you say, well, why am I not embracing that life? I want to give you a skill that David learned to have. And it's a skill that we've lost in the church. Meditate. And here's what meditation is. Meditation is listening to what God is saying into your life. But you got to listen. And we're a noisy culture. We got something stuck in our ears, or we're looking at it all the time. We can't even drive down the road now without a movie going on. We got to have noise around us constantly. Maybe it's because we don't want to know who we are. But in the still places, in the crevices of life, come the meaning of life. And here's what he says. The Lord is my shepherd. That you know, I could sit right there and preach for about an hour. I'm not going to, but I could sit right there. And that statement right there breathes all kinds of life. The Lord is my what? Shepherd. Now, how many of y'all have that located in your life? Jesus Christ is my shepherd. Jesus Christ is my King. Jesus Christ is my way. Jesus Christ is my truth. Jesus Christ is my reality. Jesus Christ is my forgiver. Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. And it's a great thing. When the Lord is your shepherd, heaven is your home. Write that down. When the Lord is my shepherd, heaven is my home. And so if heaven is my home, I'm going to start acting like I'm in heaven. I'm going to start thinking like I'm in heaven. I'm going to start, this is the best part, I'm going to start reacting like my position is in heaven. Most of the time, our actions don't get us in trouble. I've found my reactions are more severe than my actions. Coach Cox is grinning. He agrees with me. You know, if things are going well, I react pretty what? I have, you know, more heavenly reaction. When things go bad, I tend to look like the devil. How many of y'all got that problem? When things don't go my way, it's hard to find who my shepherd is. Dr. Blevins, I know who your shepherd is. You witness more in the middle of a crisis than probably you ever did opening your Bible. Dr. Blevins had his home caught on fire, and you know what he said? It's just a house. Now, Dr. Blevins, why could you say that? The Lord is my shepherd. When a loved one passes away, that's a tragic moment. You've got to say, see you later if they're in Jesus Christ. That's tough. Death's tough. No matter how you slice it, death is tough. But guess what? In death, if they know Jesus Christ, what can you say? Well, you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. And look what he says. Since the Lord is my shepherd, here's what we have. I just wanted to take a Sunday and let you know this is what we have. Go live the life. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Now, how many of y'all want has messed you up? How many of y'all can't think right when you want something? How many of you all, when you get to wanting something, you can't hear the shepherd because all you can think about is what you want? How many of y'all have ever been like that? How many of y'all remember a long time ago, probably in this service, a long time ago when you started dating? Long time ago. How many of y'all remember when you found that one you thought you loved? What did you think about all day long? Him. Her. I bet Tim Murley, when Lisa met you, all she could think about all day long was you. And after she married you, I bet she thought about you all day long too. Yeah. And said, why? You see, how many of y'all know she went from who to why? But my wants and my desires will not bring me to completion. Please write that down. You need to know that formula. My wants and my desires will not bring me what God has in store for my life. He says, but the Lord is my shepherd. And I want to bring this up. You and Jesus got to get personal. I find a lot of people don't have a personal Jesus. They have a conceptual Jesus. They have a philosophical Jesus. You know, Jesus has philosophically forgiven me of my sins. And Jesus conceptually is my Lord, and I should do what He says, but I get tangled up. No, you won't find the life until you do what He says. And you really won't know Him as your shepherd until you step in and start listening to what the shepherd has to say. And He says, I shall not be in want. I will lack nothing if I listen to Jesus. And here's why. He knows what I need better than I do. How many of y'all have come to that point? If you had godly parents, you understand that godly parents knew what you needed better than you did. Did y'all find that out as a child? How many of y'all wanted stuff as a child? I'm glad I was a child that didn't have many wants. I wanted something all the time. I was working my dad all the time. I had an angle going all the time. And guess what? I'm just going to be very confessional. I've missed some great moments in life because of my wants. And here's what I found about wants. How many of y'all have ever gotten what you wanted? How many of you have ever gotten what you wanted and it really wasn't what you wanted when you got it? How many of y'all ever got that new vehicle? You just had to have it and you got it. It's a new vehicle and that payment came in and you were like, oh my gosh, I really don't want this. I thought I needed it, but I really didn't need it. And so we got to be careful, especially in our culture, because every day, whether we're on the internet or whether we're listening to the radio or whether we're hearing TV, what's coming at us all the time? I mean, it comes in second after second after second. You need this, you want this. And yet I hit the scripture of a king, and he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. When I know that Jesus is the Lord of my life, I know no matter what I'm going through, I'm going to make it. Now, I want you to see clearly, life has tension. Everybody's life has tension. Just because you follow Jesus does not mean that you're exempt from pressure, from temptation, from tension, from failure. Okay, you got a bunch of lying dog preachers, and I'm going to call them out and tell you like it is. Just because you follow Jesus and say a prayer does not mean you're going to prosper like they describe prosperity. That denies everything in Scripture. It denies Jesus Christ Himself. He said, Father, can this cup pass from me? That was a pretty blood, sweat, and prayer. Let's talk about his faith for a minute. He's praying with such intensity that the capillaries are breaking on his skin and God crucified him anyway. Now, other preachers would have said, God would have put him up on a nice mountain in a big old house with a widescreen plasma. But you see, Jesus knew that your salvation was more than his comfortable moment. And if he could ever find a group of people that would follow him with that kind of intensity, and maybe this needs to get out of our vocabulary in America. Lord have mercy. How many songs, how many Bible studies, how many daggum books do we have to write on Lord bless me? Go to the Christian bookstore. It ain't nothing about the world. It ain't nothing about spreading the gospel around the world. It's about how I can manipulate Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to bless my life. False doctrine. False doctrine. Denies the essence of the shepherd. No shepherd is ever worried about themselves. Shepherds are worried about their sheep. Shepherds don't walk around the field finding where the TV cameras are. Shepherds walk among the sheep. Shepherds walk among the wolves. Shepherds walk where the scorpions are. Shepherds walk where the serpents are. And shepherds prepare a way, a safe path, the valley of the shadow of death, where the sheep will fear no evil. Welcome to Jesus. Welcome to Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd, the one who was crucified, the one who rolled the stone away, and I shall not be in want because he's prepared the way. Somebody see what I'm saying this morning? He's prepared a way for us, his concern, to live toward heaven. I lack nothing in Jesus. You lack nothing in Jesus. Quit worrying about your blessing and start activating your truth. But what about that one this morning? Quit worrying about your blessing and start activating your what? Truth. What would happen if you activated the truth? The Lord is my shepherd. What if you started looking at life like this? I don't lack anything. And I'm going to start living in thankfulness. And I'm going to start living with, hey, I have the equipment to do whatever the shepherd wants me to do. Here's what I believe, Hillview. If God calls you, God equips you. If God equips you, God prospers you. If God prospers you, it is for the benefit of others. God is not going to look at our resume. God's going to look at His resume in us. That's the glory of God. I want you to get that true. And listen, if you've been one of these people running around looking for a blessing for yourself all the time, don't be all corked up about that. Just repent. Say, God, I'm really sorry. God, I want you to know it'd be easy for me to be lured to that because I really like myself a whole lot. I like myself a whole lot too. Y'all like yourself a whole lot? I bet you like yourself a lot more than you do other people. Well, I do not, Pastor. I'm real holy. Yeah, I bet. How many of y'all going to save your own self before you get to somebody else? How many of y'all have ever done this at work? Well, I got to be covered. I don't know if I can do that. See, if you're really going to live with the shepherd, you're going to live a life of risk. And if you're going to be a leader, you got to shepherd people.
That's right.
And when you shepherd people, you want them to be the best. A parent like that, it'll blow you away. I want my children to have the best things in their life they can have. And that means you say no.
Amen.
And when they throw a fit and jump up and down and throw a temper tantrum, say no again.
Amen.
And the third time, you let them know that you follow a God that crucified His own Son. So if you step up in truth, that changes things. You know what God did to His boy? So sometimes I got to say no so you can be resurrected. Amen. Won't you get this rhythm? Look, He said, He makes me lay down in green pastures. How many of y'all need to be made to lay down sometimes? Woo! I do. I want to help God. Any of y'all want to help God all the time? I want to help God. I try to help God. In fact, let me tell you what changed. In 1991, March the 10th, I walked in this church. Beautiful place. Not really. Everything was gone. Y'all remember? Brenda, you remember just how... Remember the basement? It was like red carpet and dust was it. But you know what? There were people who believed. And I walked in and I was so scared because these were really good people. David Smith, Betty Lois, but some of them were right here. And I thought, man, these are good people and I'm going to mess them up, God, because I don't know what I'm doing. You know what I realized? It's a simple verse changed my life. The Lord is my shepherd. And as soon as I told God I didn't know what I was doing, He said, I'm glad you understand now. And I said, God, you know, really, the church just doesn't work. And I just don't think pastors work. And Lord, I tell you what, I'm going to quit pastoring. And why don't you pastor the place? I have found that Jesus is a better shepherd than any of us. Because Jesus knows when to say no, and He knows when to say yes. And He knows when to say you need to do that now. And He knows when to say you don't need to do that now. And if we just listen to Him, we'll really live better lives.
Right.
It's that simple, but yet we forget the simplicity of listening to God.
Amen.
God will do it. And He says, you know what? He makes me lay down in green pastures. He restores my soul. I finally learned this in my own life. I had a real problem. I wouldn't lay down. I'm hyper, and I was helping God, and I thought God needed my energy, and He needed my activity, and He needed my intellectual prowess, and He needed me to help Him get the church done. Dr. Ward, you ever been like that? I mean, God needed to help me. There was a lot of people lost out there, and God wasn't keeping up with current events, and I was going to help Him. Guess what I found? When you lay down with Him and let Him restore your soul, what you do next is more powerful than what you could have done in a billion years. And what it means to lay down is to be empowered before you go. House of prayer. But guess what? Some of y'all just need to lay down. Lay down. Stop. Let Him restore. Understand you're forgiven. He lays me down because He loves me. One of my greatest teachers happens to be my son, Blake. Blake lays me down. He says, Daddy, I don't know why you get so upset about things you can't change. I said, son, because part of me thinks I'm God. How's that for honesty? Something breaks, I come unglued because it wasn't supposed to break in Steve Ayers' reign. Now, yours may break, but mine's not supposed to. What's that called? Not laying down. And laying down is not just laying down beside these quiet waters. Laying down is coming to reflect on the reality of life. I want to give you a tool, man. Be more thankful. Coach Cox is one of those guys in my life. He's lived long enough. He started coaching football after Noah let the animals out. He formed it. No, I kid him about that. But you know what? He's lived long enough, seen enough, that he does not get upset about what? What can't be changed. Let me show you something. Apparently, God doesn't get upset about what can't be changed, or he'd be zapping a lot more folk than he does. You see, do you remember what I told you at the first of this message? It's not so much about our actions as it is our what? Reaction. It's recoil. If I'm restored by God and if I'm living in the flow of grace and in the power of the Holy Spirit and somebody does me wrong, who am I going to act like? Jesus. If I won't lay down and I'm trying to do it my own way and I'm living under my own idea and I'm pushing and pushing and driving and driving and I'm just trying to get life like I think it ought to be and somebody does me wrong, what's my reaction then? It's horrible. Devilish. I like that word. How many of y'all can be devilish? Three of you. Would you like me to call out some names of things I've seen over the past 17 years? We can all be devilish when we don't get our way. You see, God wants us to stay in the flow of the shepherd. One of the ways to do that is lay down. You reckon King David had some responsibility? Reckon he had some stress? Ms. Goff, you're a great leader. Do you reckon King David had some leadership issues? Yeah. Yeah. Just having, you know, about 600 wives is a pretty big leadership deal. Plus a mistress. Plus an army. Plus he's got to keep up with welfare. He's got to keep up with the Senate there. You know, it's tough. But he learned to lay down and he said, you know what? If I operate out of my restoration, life is better than if I operate out of my own idea. Be restored, church. I hope when you come here and sing, you can let some of it out. You know what I mean? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. If you will get still, God will put peace on you. And let me tell you what part of getting still is. Part of getting still is being still enough to say, I'm sorry, God, I hadn't been listening. And I really want to tell you, if we would just get honest with God, quiet waters are on the way. We just don't get honest. Which, this is not hard. I was wrong. Here's one of the things I like about Hillview. I hear this, not as much as we need to, but I hear this. I'm sorry, I was wrong. It's okay to say I was wrong. Here's what a great Bible study teacher does. They get asked a question and they don't know. Guess what they say? I don't know. But you know what? I'll study on that next week and I'll see if I can get some insight. That's a mature Christian. Here's a phony. They make up an answer. Or they do this one where I just wanted to jack Bible study Jaws teachers. When they didn't have the answer, they accused me of not having enough faith. Oh, I wanted to smack them with a King James. I got that all the time. Well, you just don't have enough faith. Don't accuse me. Your ignorance doesn't indict my faith. Truth has set you free. Here's truth. I don't know. And some of y'all get frustrated with me because you think I'm a walking Merlin pastor. And when you come to me and ask me some crazy question that's so, I've never thought about that question. I don't know. That doesn't mean I'm dumb. It just means I don't know. But let's go find it. Amen? Amen? Look at here. Quiet waters. And then guess what he does? Look at the shepherd's activity. He says, after the quiet waters, what happens? He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. How many are glad to know if you will listen to the shepherd, He's going to lead you to the right thing? A lot of times the right thing is saying, I'm sorry. A lot of times the right thing is saying, God, I messed up in this area of my life. A lot of times the right thing is, God, I need to repent and we need to work on this area. If I can encourage you guys, listen, there is no peace when you hide sin. And you got to get real about all sins. You know, God, I'm an arrogant jerk. How many of y'all have ever just said, God, I was arrogant in this situation. God, I didn't listen in this situation. God, I wanted my own way in this situation. See, that's when you get down to prayer that works. And God, show me the truth and help me get better. Amen? And guess what God will do? He'll show you and you get better. God's not amazed. Let me help you all. God's not amazed that we mess up. Does that help you all? I mean, God's not like going, I can't believe you did that. God's going, I know that you would do that. That's why Jesus came to die on the cross. But now I want to restore you and lead you in paths of what? Righteousness. For His name's sake, because watch this, God gets glorified through righteousness. And I want to encourage you all, especially in this service, I have found a great witnessing tool to the world. Guess what it is? Marriage. It blows young people away. If you're married, be married well. Staying married brings a testimony to God. And it blows young people away. Of course, you all are aware of this truth. Elizabeth looks a lot better than me. And we were out in another country, and we were talking to this guy, and he was from London. He was a surfer guy, man. He was a really neat guy. And he had been participating with some spirits, and he was ready to talk. And I love talking to people that are ready to talk. And he started talking to Elizabeth, and he said, I saw you guys at the airport, man. And we get in the conversation, and I ask him about surfing, because when I go to Costa Rica, I never see the beach. And so I was amazed that there was actually a surfer at the beach. I didn't know how you surfed on the mountains. That's all I've ever seen in the country. They say there's a coast there. Because Freddie doesn't let us go. Because he won't lay down by quiet waters and listen to the shepherd. And so our soul never gets restored. So what happened was this surfer, he looks at Elizabeth and he goes, what do you all do? Are you all together? And I said, yeah, we're married. He says, get out of here. Now, I went to you, you're probably 27 years old. Get out of here. I said, yeah. He said, is this your second wife? That's real offensive to me. And so really, part of me was getting ready to whip a surfer there. But anyway, so he goes, how long y'all been married? And we said, 23 years. Fried ever circuit in his mind. I just want you to know there's a generation that has no concept of long-term relationships. It's not even a I want to just alert you all. It's not even a thought. And then he asked what we did. Elizabeth said, I'm in the pharmaceutical business. And she said, my husband is a pastor. I won't give you exactly what he said because I'm here. It fried him. Here was his response. There is no way that you all can be Christian. You are too nice. That's the reputation of Christian people in the church to a lost and dying world. And listen to this from a follower of Jesus. It is representatively accurate. If you've never been to church and you listen to a bunch of these religious people, that's exactly the way it feels. They preach, preach, preach. The world has another word for that. Nag, nag, nag. They got this little set of moral code, and they exclude everybody that can't live up to their life. Does that sound like the shepherd? Does that even get close to looking like the Jesus you know in the New Testament? Jesus walked right in the midst of the world and he said, the Father and I are one. This is what God would like to tell you. I am the shepherd. You don't have to be in one. I will set your soul at rest. I will restore you. I will lead you down paths of righteousness. You can trust me, says Jesus. I am who? God. I just want you to see that relationships are so important. Love one another as Jesus Christ has loved us. Bible. Look, King David goes on, and as he finds the depth of God, his soul leaks. And he said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Let me tell you, you don't have to fear death anymore. You're in Jesus Christ. Heaven is your destiny. You know, did you live that way? Eddie? I'm never upset when I got to go to Florida. Never. Minnesota, upset. Florida, never upset. You know? But it's cold. Florida's warm. Heaven's warm. Warm with God's love. Let's get to the real reality of it. When you die, if you're in Jesus Christ, has your soul been restored? Is your path righteousness? Is and your destiny heaven? So here's what I wanted to tell you today. In a dangerous world, know that the rod and the staff should comfort you. And it's a dangerous world. The valley of the shadow of death was actually when you moved the sheep between two valleys. And guess what was in the valley? Wolves! How many of y'all have ever met a wolf? Be careful, we got him at Hillview. There's wolves here. They're in sheep's clothing. They don't like me because I know they're wolves. And you got to watch them because they go after lambs. If you notice, if you're a young believer in Jesus Christ, Pastor Steve will bump into you occasionally because Pastor Steve takes being a shepherd serious. And when he sees a wolf, wolves smile a lot. Just help you with wolf mentality. Wolves will tell you everything God's done in them. Because wolves in sheep's clothing are having to pretend to be what they're not. Sheep talk about God. And sheep don't talk a lot. Have you noticed that wolves make a lot more noise than sheep? Sheep go, bleh. And wolves go, hurr. Because guess what they want you to know? I'm here. I'm a wolf. I'm big and I'm bad. And I'll huff and puff and blow your house down. Wolves make people feel intimidated. Sheep make people feel welcomed. Does that help? Wolves are sneaky. They'll grow their fur out and curl it with a curling iron to look like a sheep. So you better look at them carefully. Make sense? When you get in the valley of shadow of death, fear no evil. Why? Because God has got you covered. How many are glad to live with a covering? And this is why, now look, can I just pause for just a second? Have you ever wondered the question, why in the world do we need to go to church? Have any of y'all ever had that question? Ms. Elizabeth, I've had that question all my life. Not this morning, though, I wanted to come. Why do we need to go to church? Because I need to be reminded with other sheep who the shepherd is. Here's what I found. When you get out there and start doing that solo Christianity, guess what happens? You think you're the shepherd. You'll think you're the shepherd. And kind of when you get around with a bunch of other sheep and you get around and get to talking out here in the atrium, you know, bah, boo, bah, you realize, hey, we're all sheep. And we got a shepherd. And we all got some stuff we get into in the valley of the shadow of death, but we got a shepherd that's going to get us to the other side. Amen? Somebody say, I'm glad. Come on, I'm glad. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad this works. So guess what, Hillview? Don't freak out when people have to leave the planet. If they're in Jesus Christ, guess what? They've gone on with the shepherd. Amen. Stay with the shepherd. The life is in the shepherd. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, here's what I want you to know. You're going to walk through it. Now, how's that for straight up? You're going to walk through it. All of us are going to have some difficult moments. How many of y'all realize you're going to have some difficult moments? Amen. It's straight preaching. How many of y'all ever had a kid and you did everything you're supposed to do and they still went wayward? It's in the Bible called prodigal son, prodigal daughter.
That's right.
Don't freak out about that. Hillview's full of them.
Amen.
It's called you. You know how many 40-year-old people at Hillview wander back and say, well, my mom's been praying for me all my life. I hadn't done a thing she told me, and my life is a mess. Even though I get in the valley of shadow of death, though, there is a rod and there's a staff, and it will provide comfort in the most tedious, just tumultuous situations. Tedious situations. Make sense? The valley of the shadow of what? Death. What does death do? It brings fear to those that don't have a shepherd, and it brings life to those who know the shepherd. He rolled the stone away, I believe. Then he says this, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. How many of y'all have enemies? If you don't have enemies, I want to encourage you today, get a life. If you're a person living without enemies, you're a person doing absolutely nothing. You are taking up space and breathing our oxygen. Please go do something. You do not have to form enemies. Just follow Jesus. You will have some. Okay, don't go seek them out. Don't try to have more enemies than everybody else, because that might mean you're a jerk, not a follower. It's not about having enemies. It's about having a life. But in this life, there will be enemies. Exactly right, sister. When you're a Christian, you'll have enemies. And guess that it comes with a package. Y'all got it? You follow Jesus, what are people going to say? How many of y'all have ever heard this one? Oh, you just think you're better than me now since you've got religion. How many of y'all have ever heard that one? And you can look right at him and say, I'm not better than you, but he who's in me is better than you. I guarantee you that. So you got to know how to answer people. And what's happening is you're looking at he who's in me, and I'm glad you are, because he'd love to be in you. See, in the presence of my enemies, I have security because I know my destiny. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. I just want to encourage y'all to do this. Take an inventory of your cup. For every one of us in Jesus Christ right now, guess what? Grace is there. Love is there. Joy is there. Peace is there. Patience is there. Kindness is there. Faithfulness. It's there in the Spirit. So look at it. Drink it. Let it ooze out of you. And surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. How many of y'all glad to know that we get to hang out in a loving place?
Amen.
How many of y'all, when you go home, the love goes home with you?
Amen.
How many of y'all glad to know that you can worship God? Jeff Brooks, I love that song Jeff sings, I Believe.
Amen.
And I love it because guess what? That'll be in my head all week long. How many of y'all, there's just some praise courses that get in your head all week long. And even when you're like me, you don't know how to sing, you'll be going down the road going, I believe. And when you're by yourself, you can pretend you're Jeff Brooks. And you're looking in your head in the rearview mirror, holding on to your guitar, stomping your foot, singing, I'm set free. And it's nobody, and God's up in heaven going, oh gosh, I'm glad you believe because you sure can't sing. But you know what? God welcomes our song.
Yes, He does.
Not our pitch, our song. Our heart, our life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Why? I will dwell in the house of who?
The Lord.
For how long?
Ever.
So can I let you all in on big life? Your reservations have been made certain by Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
So as you journey on this trip, embrace the shepherd. But most of all, let the shepherd embrace you. And let him lead you to where? Jesus. Lover of my soul. There's a part in that song that says, I'll never let you go. I would rewrite that. He'll never let me go. Because guess what I found in life? How many of y'all remember having a little kid at the mall? What happens? Who lets go? Them or you? The kid. And as soon as they let go, they're about 2 or 3 years old, they are what? Where are they going? They don't even know. It reminds us of us. We just go. How many of y'all just go? You know, the teenagers, they going out. I said, where are y'all going? Out. Where does it end up? Out. You know, I always got tickled when they're 12 years old and they're going out. Where are y'all going out to? To the cell phones, where they're going out to. You can't go. The shepherd says, though, I'm not going to let go of you. Even in the valley of the shadow of death. Even beside quiet waters. The principal function of the shepherd is to guide you to your dwelling. See, how do you know that? I went and watched sheep for a whole day. They need a shepherd. You know, the Bible talks so much about sheep, and I just never, you know, Jack, I was around cattle, but I was never around sheep. You know, we didn't do sheep in Bowling Green. Did cows. You know, I never went out and said, hey, I got to go feed the sheep. So I had a guy in my church that was raising sheep. He had 300 sheep. I went up on the hill and I watched the sheep. The longer I watched the sheep, the more mad at God I got. I said, you calling me that? He said, look closely. He had a big woolly, and he's bigger and a little tougher than the rest of them. He just walked around, and the rest of them followed him. He didn't know where he was going, and they didn't know where they were going to end up. Sound familiar? Sounds like the American government. Just going places without direction. Now here's the good news of the shepherd. Jesus Christ knows how to live here. He came here. And Jesus Christ knows how to live in heaven. He came from there. And He dwells there now. And so the shepherd is calling us into His life. We will be crucified, forgiven of sin, and resurrected to a new dwelling. Location, heaven. Expiration date, there is none. If you notice, everything here on earth has a expiration date. Look at your Bibles and find me the expiration date. There's not one.
Amen.
Because everything in motion in God's Word is eternal. So dwell in it. Amen? Y'all been great. Has God said anything today that jogged your soul, reminded you? Do you have something to leave with here for this week?
No worries.
Huh?
No worries.
So basically, here's the summary of the sermon. Chill out. God's in charge. Live well because you're headed to heaven. Dwell where you ought to dwell. And act like a sheep. When you bump into wolves, guess what? When you get near a wolf, what do you need to do? There are wolves at Hillview. I'm telling y'all. How many of y'all know there's wolves at Hillview? You say, well, how long have there been wolves at Hillview? Since 1991, March the 10th. I hope I'm not he. Because guess what? Sheep started gathering. And wolves don't come till there's what? Now, there's a lot of wolves, Chuck, at Hillview because there's a lot of lambs here. Now, wolves don't like the 8 o'clock service. Why? Now, don't be offended about this, but a lot of y'all are old, tough sheep. Not ugly. Beautiful, old, tough sheep. Earl, you wouldn't be a new sheep, would you? See, they don't like Dr. Earl. Wolves don't like Dr. Earl because Dr. Earl has bumped into enough wolves and enough wolves dressed in sheep clothing over your journey of life. You know what they are, don't you? And they'll bump into you and they'll go, oh, I'm going to step away from Earl because Earl will expose who I am. Be careful of wolves. Guess what the shepherd will do to a wolf? Knock him upside his noggin. Now, when you get next to a wolf, guess what you need to do? Stand still, be quiet, and say, Shepherd! Shepherd! Just be still. Before you know it, you'll hear Jesus. He'll be walking down. Hey, wolf! And the wolf will go, hmm? You need to get away from that sheep right now. And the wolf will go, but I'm here for their spiritual development. You're not the spiritual developer. I am. Wolf. And then if the wolf gets stubborn, the shepherd has a thing called a staff. Yep. And since Jesus is not politically correct, he takes the staff and whomps it over the head of the wolf. And the wolf, instead of being big and bad and huffing and puffing, goes whimpering and running. Don't forget that. That's why David realized he could sit at the table in the presence of the wolves and speak the truth and love Jesus because he had a shepherd. Do the same. Amen. If you don't know Jesus this morning, he wants to know you. If you've never asked him to come into your life, this is a great day to say, Lord Jesus Christ, I want your shepherding in my life. Lord Jesus, I need to be forgiven. Okay, now listen, every one of us need to be forgiven. Y'all got this? I know I go over it every Sunday, but every Sunday there's a guest here, and guess what? I bet most people in Bowling Green believe this. If they do a lot of good things, they're going to go to heaven. How many of y'all think that's probably what most people believe in our city? That's what I hear most time. Well, Pastor, I'm as good as anybody at Hillview. I said, you got that right. The only problem is you're not forgiven. You're trying to earn heaven on your own merit. Well, we'll see. I said, we will. And it bothers them that I stand with such confidence. Because, see, the problem is they hadn't read the Bible, and I have. And it says, only by the grace of God, only by the mercy of God, only by the justice of God can a human soul be restored. So here's what you got to say. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know I've messed up. I know I haven't done what you've asked me to do. It's really that pertinent. God, I want to be forgiven. Jesus, I believe You're the forgiver. Lord Jesus, come into my what? Life. I believe You died on a cross. I believe You've risen from the grave. Come into my what? Life. And what's Jesus going to do? He's going to come in. You know why? I read His Word. He said, if you ask, you will what? See, that verse wasn't talking about a new Cadillac. Lord, I heard that preached one day. A guy preaching on God's blessing of giving and receiving. And he received a Cadillac. He received a Cadillac because he had a good job. Don't ever take the Bible and make it some Mickey Mouse goofy book. Now, I get to kung fu fighting when I hear that stuff. I'm sorry. It to me, that's the worst thing in the world, to take the Word of God and bend it so it fits personal benefit. Just flies all over me. It says what it says, and it means what it means, and it is what it is, and there's no other meaning to it. It's not about having stuff. It's about having a life. Ask and you shall receive is a promise from Jesus Himself. If you ask Him to forgive you, He promises to forgive you. And He will restore you toward heaven. If you need to do that today, please do that today. So you say, how in the world do I get saved? How in the world do I come to Christ? Lord Jesus, here I am. Fill Your name in. Bob, Bill, Sally, Sue. I'm a sinner. Jesus, today I realize I don't have You in my life and I want to have You in my life. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. What's God going to do? Forgive you of your sin. Then what are you going to do? Live the new life. If you haven't been baptized, you need to get baptized. What are you waiting on? Is that fair enough? What are you waiting on? Well, Pastor Ayers, I follow Jesus, but I won't do the first thing He asked me to do. You want to bet that on your eternity? Guys, listen, I want you to hear me loud and clear. Not everybody that goes to church in America is going to heaven.
That's right. That's
right. Amen.
One day, game day's over. And the true thing's going to be mustered out of here. You say, well, Pastor Ayers, why don't you get the people out of here? Not my job.
That's right.
My job is to be like a gardener. How many of y'all have ever raised a garden? What's in the garden? Beans, cabbage, turnips, weeds. My father knew that there were weeds in the garden. And my father, being a praying man, for some reason thought in the summertime when I was a kid that God had called me to get the weeds out of the garden. Now I wanted to see if I'd have read the Bible, I would have had things to quote to him. I would have looked at my father and said, I cannot go to the garden and get the tares. Jesus said He would separate the wheat from the tares. Go get Jesus to weed the garden on Saturday morning. But you know what? I want everybody here to be wheat. So check and say, God, am I the real thing? See, I'm not worried about Jesus being a real thing. He's a real thing.
Yes, He is.
But I check me all the time. Say, God, am I in the real thing?
Amen.
Am I living what You said or am I living what I made up?
Uh-oh.
This will get you in trouble too. God, am I living by what You said or am I living by what I think You said? When you live by what He says, life comes. Amen. Well, let's pray this morning. Y'all have been great listeners. You know, let's have a time at the altar. Let God speak. Somebody going to get saved today. Y'all okay with that? That's good, isn't it? That's good. That's graceful. That's good. Come and pray. I want to turn this off into a house of prayer. Here's some things that need to be prayed for. Pastor Tim Holmes is going to be starting a church in Ashland, Kentucky. We already got a core group up there of 100 people in Ashland, Kentucky. We need to pray for the mountains. All right. I met this week with a spry young pastor. Dude's about 5'6". He was full of energy, full of the Holy Ghost. He wants to start a church in Moorhead, Kentucky. That's why he called me. Crazy. Met with him. Drove through Moorhead. It's growing up there. Most lost county in Kentucky, Rowan County. God's doing some things. Now, God's calling Hillview Heights out for one reason. Not because we're good, but we're one of the few churches that still believe you ought to be evangelistic. God's got a lot of church centers, but most of them are about themselves. That's just the truth. First core vision, connect people to Jesus. We're not changing. Connect people to Jesus. And I want you to come and pray on this carpet. Lord Jesus, please create in us a heart that says we'll do whatever it takes to make sure people get connected to who? Jesus. Pray for a guy named Robeson. Robeson. El Hillview in Costa Rica. Some of you all speak Spanish. You all thought you were taking Spanish class just because you had to have a requirement to graduate from the university. We're going to need your Spanish in Costa Rica. I told you a long time ago that we would go from Bowling Green to the world, and here we go. And I'm sure it'll be shortly. There'll be Hillview Heights, Liberia, Hillview Heights, Kenya. It's not about Hillview Heights, but we have to use that name to indicate to people these churches are about making sure that you come to Jesus Christ. That's what God's called us to do. I'm sorry. Y'all are linebackers. You're going to get people to Jesus. You're not going to get your name in church national magazines. You're not going to be in Charisma magazine. You're not going to be noted for it. Nobody cares less of what you do on from other churches. But I'm going to tell you what, one day you're going to get to meet this big shepherd. And he's going to come and he's going to be full of his glory and his power. And his eyes are going to burn with passion for his bride. And I believe he's going to look at a rogue boat called Hillview Heights Church, an old bunch called Hillview Heights Church. And he's going to say, good job, my faithful servants. You went where nobody else would go. And you said what nobody else would say. And you didn't quit in the presence of your enemies. And you didn't stop when it didn't feel good. And I want you to come on in, because I want you to see what I did through you. Here are the people with their hands up, full of my presence, because you told them who I was. That's worth dying with. That's worth dying for. That is everything. Amen. Well, let's stand. This altar's open. Holy Spirit, you have filled this place with the presence of Jesus today. We do believe, and we ask now that we would be set free and we would live this life. So God Almighty, in this house, if there is one person here that doesn't know you, I pray right now that they would ask you into their life. Ask Him, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I love you, Jesus. Show me your love. If you haven't been baptized yet, a believer that hasn't been baptized yet, Lord, it's time for me to step up in obedience and be baptized. If you've never really felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, why don't you come and just kneel down and say, Holy Spirit, I need to understand the active flow of who you are in my faith journey. And I just want to call you to pray that your life be used for real things in Jesus Christ right now. Come on, as people come, listen, some of y'all know you're not supposed to be standing there today. I'm asked, what would happen if we all got obedient? I'm not worried about Bible study right now. I'm worried about what Jesus Christ wants to say at this altar to all those involved. If you don't want to come to the altar, be praying, though. God, do a work. Do a work in our lives. Do a work in my heart. Right now, come on. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on.